What is up, everyone?
Welcome back to Mile Higher Podcast, episode 36.
With your hosts, Kendall and Josh. What is up, everybody? Today, we've got a super interesting episode for you.
Yes, actually, I'm so excited for this because this is one of the first theories that got me into the conspiracy world. And this is the first theory I ever covered on my YouTube channel. And I was really nervous to post it. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know people what people are going to think.
Going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah, they're going to think I'm a nut job. So I think a lot of it I spent time saying like, I don't know if this is true. Look, I didn't want people to think I was weird, but it was really short. I haven't watched it in forever, but
yeah, I think we'll definitely hit on some things that you didn't mention in your video.
Oh yeah.
There's actually a lot more to it than I think a lot of people realize.
And we knew we'd have to redo it because I did I think it was 9 minutes or 10 minutes. It was really short.
Yeah. But the theory, guys, is something that hits very close to home. And that is conspiracy theories surrounding the Denver International Airport, which I'm sure even across the world, people have heard of the Denver International Airport. It's kind of a famous airport for, you know, for the conspiracy things, but just because it is kind of a central hub in the U.S. for,
I might be wrong on this and I'm sure someone will correct me, but I'm pretty sure Denver Airport has the most traffic as far as actual flights.
Yeah, it's one of the busiest, absolutely. Yeah. Like as far as passengers go, it's not the busiest.
It has the most terminals.
Yeah, it's got a lot, and I think I have some of the
Georgia's
the stats
the biggest
in there.
Like
people-wise, like busiest, yeah.
No, I think O'Hare's busiest people-wise.
This is the biggest land-wise.
No, Georgia is.
Georgia is?
I'm going to have to look it up. Okay.
Yeah, anyways. some exciting news to announce. Today, as you're listening to this, our merch store, milehighermerch.com, is officially open for business. I've been working on this for like 3 months now, put a lot of hard work in making some quality products for you guys. There is literally over 100 different items on the store.
This is not like a merch shop you've ever seen. This Josh really poured his heart and soul into this.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys like it. I mean, I spent a lot of time trying to come up with really cool designs because, you know, like for me personally, I don't like to wear a ton of just like branded things. So I wanted to find just cool designs that I think you guys would like and would like to wear, hopefully. So there's a ton of different stuff on there. Obviously, you can get the Mile Higher Podcast official merch at the store as well. So what I'm offering you guys today is 10% off of your purchase using the code LAUNCH at checkout. That'll give you 10% off your entire order. And we ship worldwide. So if you're in the UK, Australia, wherever you are, we probably will be able to ship to you. So that's the great news with that. So very exciting. And hopefully you guys like it. We'll be repping the merch. I'm waiting on ours to arrive. It's pretty exciting stuff. And hopefully you guys like it. Also, last week we talked about our new hemp affiliate, CBD affiliate, Hemp Bombs. And a lot of you guys went and checked them out. So that is awesome. And if you haven't yet, it's hempbombs.com. And you can get 20% off your order using the code MILEHIGHER. Definitely go and check them out. It's really good, high quality stuff. Kendall and I really do use it every day and have enjoyed it so far. So today we are going to get right into things. We got a lot to cover.
To update you on the whole airport thing, I've been trying to find it. It sounds like it's definitely not the biggest in the world.
No.
Sounds like Dubai is one of the biggest in the world. Chicago is the biggest in the United States as far as passengers go. I think Denver might actually be the biggest as far as land space, which is kind of interesting considering where there's conspiracies about it. Why is it so fucking big?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like 53 acres.
Said like on here that it's like massive compared to all the other ones mentioned on this list. Interesting. Yeah, it's 13,000 hectares.
Yeah, that's another measurement tool. It's 53,000 acres though.
Oh.
So we'll talk about that more in a minute. One of the things I wanted to bring up is something I've seen kind of, you know, going around on social media, and some of you out there have been tweeting it at us and asking us about whether or not MH370 has been found in the Cambodian jungle.
I swear it gets found every 3 months.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying is like, there's always something new about it being found. And as of right now, officially, it has not been found. This is basically an internet sleuth. A British guy actually was on Google Maps doing hours and hours of you know, searching. And it's actually pretty amazing what you can find in Google Earth these days with the 3D view and everything. But this guy claims to have found a Google Maps image of a plane in the middle of the jungle of Cambodia. And he's basically speculating that this could be the missing flight MH370. And if you look at the images, and obviously if you're listening, you can't look at them, but there is a plane, a clear image of a plane that what looks to be above the jungle. Doesn't look like it's in the jungle, because yeah, I don't like think we'd be like able to see it.
Set there by someone. Like, could they have photoshopped it? But I guess
multiple
people
have seen
it. No,
it's an official image. Google confirmed that this is an official image.
Okay, so then what the fuck? Because that is definitely a plane.
Right, but here's the main thing to remember is that this could be a plane flying below the satellite when it was photographed, if you think about it. Like, this could totally be...
Well, why don't people check the same spot and see if it's still there?
Well, that's the thing, is they're starting to... They just sort of announced it like 2 weeks ago. So they're planning an expedition to go in and actually look at this location on the ground to see if anything's there. But here's the thing with this whole story is that the sources that are you know, reporting it aren't necessarily the most reliable out there. Not saying that they're not credible, but it seems that things are getting thrown around a lot. I also read something else that they actually already flew over this location. There was nothing there. So it really, I mean, the biggest thing with this is it really does seem like it is probably just the satellite captured a plane flying in front of it over this area. Because if you think about it, if it really was a crashed aircraft, like, wouldn't it be below the trees?
And it would probably be pretty covered with leaves. Like,
yeah, like, you wouldn't
like,
even be able
to
see
the whole
it from
thing.
The air.
It'd probably have like a lot of growth on it by now.
Right.
Right. It's been like, what was it, 2014? Was it?
Yeah.
When it crashed? Yeah. So it's been like 4 years.
Right. Well, that, and the thing is there's another zoomed in image that does appear to look like there might be some, like, it might be below the trees, like maybe at the top of
yeah,
the trees, just kind of sitting there. Because there's a part at the tail where it gets a lot darker.
Yeah. So if it was looks a satellite, like how would that?
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at other images of satellites being captured by, or planes being captured by satellites. Which I think it happens a lot. So I think that's definitely the most probable solution to this. But
that's very interesting.
It could just be some plane. But then again, it's like when you look at all the evidence that we've gathered from the search for MH370, which has been extremely extensive, is that it seems that based upon, you know, the flight trajectories and things like that, that it would have crashed in the ocean. Plus, we've found pieces from the plane washed up ashore, you know, from the ocean. So why would it be in the middle of the jungle?
Well, I don't fully believe everything that they put out there, you know.
No, like, I'm not saying I don't either. But as far as what we know from the official reports,
right,
you know, unless you're just going to deny every official report that's released, that's fake.
No, I'm not denying it. But I think maybe the initial information or what we're being told from like the top could be incorrect. Or like they're not completely as sure that the parts of the plane that they found are actually the real parts of, because they were like, it's similar.
They said they confirmed it by serial number on some stuff. So
yeah,
so there have been actual pieces that have been officially declared.
I mean, I'm sure that's
pieces
the truth
of MH370.
I'm not saying that's not true, but I just, you know, especially when you see something like this, I definitely just kind of wait to see what'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Absolutely. It's absolutely, kind of makes you stop and think, well, maybe, you know, maybe that, you know, it just crashed in the middle of Cambodia in the middle of the jungle and we just haven't found it because
or it's another plane,
remote jungle, and you know, who knows, or it's another plane. That's what I kind of think, is that if it is a crash plane, but then again, it's like, wouldn't we know if there's a reported missing plane, you know? So
I don't know.
It's pretty interesting though. So I guess we'll see when they travel there, what they find in the middle of the jungle. Cause that is, those images are pretty mysterious looking. But the other thing that happened just recently has to do with Elon Musk. And he got, if you remember in August, the Tesla CEO, Elon Musk, set off an entirely preventable and catastrophic chain of events by tweeting that he was considering taking Tesla private at $420 a share, funding secured. Musk provided no financing details, and the Securities and Exchange Commission later determined that he never finalized any kind of deal with the Saudi sovereign wealth fund behind the Tensible buyout. And last week, the Securities and Exchange Commission slapped him with regulatory or basically ordered him to pay $20 million fine and step down as board chairman as part of a settlement with the Securities Exchange and Commission. So there's been kind of a lot of like talk with Elon Musk lately. And I think some of it has just been, you know, I think they're they don't like him doing what he's done when he went on Joe Rogan and, you know, he was smoking weed and then he made like a kind of a weed joke by saying he was going to take the company private, which was totally a joke that he did. And now the government's coming after him being like, you're fucking with the market. And they're making him step down as chairman board. He'll still be able to be CEO, I believe, but he had to pay a hefty fine and everything else.
That's ridiculous. Just because of the podcast?
Well, because of this tweet that he did. Yeah. He basically said that, like, he basically made a fake deal per se. Like, I don't understand this totally, how the market works and everything, but apparently you're not allowed to, you know, make these types of remarks that you're going to take the company private at $420 a share. And then, you know, that deal was completely false.
Oh, like $420.
Basically, they're saying you're fraudulent because you made this fake deal when he was just clearly making a weed joke. And it's just gotten blown way out of proportion, I think. So, but yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Elon Musk and Tesla's been struggling quite a bit lately. So
yeah, they
we'll
have.
See what happens. Yeah, it's not been good per
that
se.
That sucks. I feel like there's a lot of forces against Elon Musk. A lot of people that want to see Elon Musk go down.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people are threatened by him.
The government's threatened
by
him.
Or the families or the Illuminati or whatever you want to call them.
Right. Well, they don't like that he's kind of just doing whatever he wants and, you know, not abiding by government regulations.
And is fucking sending things to the space.
That too. He did announce. Did you hear his latest announcement?
No.
He's sending people to the dark side of the moon, like soon.
The dark side.
He's like, we got to see what's on the other side of the moon.
Oh my gosh, I want to know.
I want to know too. I want to know if there's bases on the
island. Dude, I love Elon Musk. I support whatever whatever. The dude may say some things or wants to smoke a joint. People are really going to freak out. He's building fucking rockets. He might save the human race.
He could.
And people
he
are
could.
Like, don't smoke a joint. No relaxation for you. Yeah, Elon, seriously. Get back in the lab, boy. We got shit to do. It's just annoying.
It just feels like they're busting his balls big time.
I feel like he's constantly, like, people are always trying to make things out of nothing with him.
He doesn't care.
Like, that seems really dramatic to remove
him. Is like whatever to him, so.
It's a joke. People need to fucking chill.
It's so stupid. I mean, I think they're just trying to make his life harder. I think honestly, you know, on a, you know, conspiracy level that they want to see him fail.
Yeah.
They want this whole idea of like electric vehicles to fail. You know, if you look at like the oil industry, they want Elon Musk to fail probably more than anybody
else.
They
hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
there's a lot of forces that be that don't want him, that are probably making bigger things into bigger things than they have to be for a reason.
Right. No, I absolutely think so.
When you're that kind of person, like look at anyone in history who has been like a risk taker or really innovative, just someone who's truly special,
Nikola Tesla,
someone like that.
Albert Einstein.
They are normally scrutinated while they're alive, or there's a lot of challenges that they have to go past in order to do things, or they get stopped and
we just
don't hear about them. Like, well, there's probably plenty of people out there that are like
absolutely,
you know, prodigies that we've never heard of because they got caught doing
literally like censored. Like, like I've read multiple articles about people that are making like new types of vehicles that run off of like, you know, water or like something else, and they get like assassinated like mysteriously. Like,
there's all kinds of stuff like that.
So
can you imagine that, a vehicle that ran on water? You could just like fill up a thing from your sink and then like pour it in your car and you're good to go.
Seriously. Free. Or like your wastewater. What if we could like turn our like sewage into like fuel or something? Like
we're like running off shit and stuff.
Maybe. I mean, there's gotta be a better way. And I mean, it's so obvious that they're, you know, trying to keep this stuff from, I think the most dangerous thing that you can do is try to create alternative forms of energy. I think that's like the biggest thing.
Yeah,
I think that's definitely
a problem.
They come and try to squash you really fast as soon as you try to change, you know, move us away to a different type of energy, whether it be, you know,
or even talking about free energy on like a big platform if you're like one of these people. I mean, who cares about us? But
Yeah, I mean, people that are working on, you know, working on Nikola Tesla's work and this idea of wireless free electricity that's just all around us that we can tap into. And, you know, those types of people are literally fearful of their lives. Like they they have to do things in secret and, you know, they don't have nearly the amount of funding that is required. I think Dr. Greer is actually working on a project that has to do with all of this. And, you know, from, but on the other side, I'm like, this whole like To the Stars organization that Tom DeLong runs is also kind of working on this realm of things. So it's interesting that, you know, like the government's allowing these guys to do it. But, you know, anybody else that's just like out there trying to do it on their own is getting shut down, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. It's really interesting. I don't know what the, you know, maybe they are going to let us transform our energy sources to something else. But
well, like how long can they stop it? You know, like the more people that know about it, the bigger problem it is. So maybe in a way we're a threat by informing people about free energy.
Well, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I know. But it's just kind of crazy to think about.
I mean,
but
it's not, I mean, we're just talking about it. You can go Google it and look all into it. It's all out there.
Well, what's crazy is like, there could be a lot of stuff that's not out there too. Like a lot of Tesla's work we have never seen and never will see because the government took it as soon as he died and kept it locked away. And there could be crazy ideas in there.
I mean, this was back in the early 1900s and he was already like miles ahead.
He already knew what a cell phone was.
He was working on a goddamn time travel machine.
And when you think about that, it's like,
it's like, fuck, they have so the ability to time travel. The government could be time traveling.
Dude, I honestly would not be surprised. And then the whole John Teeter thing might be true.
Dude, seriously.
Who knows, right?
Who knows these days?
I wouldn't be shocked with any of these things if they end up being true. It's so interesting.
It is. All right, before we jump into Denver airport conspiracies, we want to thank today's sponsor, Gabby. If you don't know what Gabby is your free insurance concierge. They're an online broker who compares all of your insurance options to find you the right policy all in under 2 minutes. In under 2 minutes, they do the research. They scour all of your available options to make sure you get the best policy for your individual circumstance. They auto-check options every renewal time to make sure you're still getting the best deal, even if your circumstances have changed. Gabby will never spam you or cold call you, which is the biggest thing because some of those sites are so annoying, dude.
Like, so annoying.
They like just call you immediately. You're like, I wanted a free quote online and you're calling me now. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. These guys do not do that at all. They take it very seriously too.
I appreciate that.
And they are a licensed insurance broker in all 50 states. And they hope that you will be there. You will use them for life. And they really are the modern way to buy insurance. So definitely go check it out and try it out free, guys, at Gabby, GABI.com/milehiber. Gabby.com/milehiber. I actually did do this and they did go out and find an insurance policy that was $200 cheaper a year than my existing
one.
No
way.
Yeah, it really does work, guys. Like I was like, really? This kind of seems... No, it really works. If you put your information in, they'll go out there, check all the insurance brokers out or providers out there to find you the best coverage for the best price.
So are we going to switch insurance then?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm still waiting to see the home insurance bundle. But yeah, I mean, if it makes sense, then absolutely. So
that is so cool.
You could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by checking out Gabby.com/milehire. All right, guys. Let's get into the Denver airport conspiracy theories. So Denver International Airport is definitely one of the most recognizable airports to visit in the United States. Its peaked roof is designed to look like snow-capped Rocky Mountains. It's supposed to look like Rocky Mountains.
But they just look like big tents.
It looks like a big fucking circus tent.
When I was a kid, I thought they were teepees.
They do kind of look like teepees.
That's what I thought they were supposed to be.
I think it's fucking cool, though. I mean, I haven't seen an airport that looks as cool as ours.
It's very unique. I always thought that's just like how airports look, because I've always seen that.
Yeah.
I've been going to that airport since I was like 6 months old.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been there far more than I have.
I've been there so many times.
But it It's one of the most fascinating airports because it does have a slew of conspiracy theories surrounding its unique art, architecture, and construction, which have fueled the imaginations of airport visitors and conspiracy theorists alike. So, Denver International Airport's also commonly known as DIA. I'll probably refer to it as DIA a lot because I don't want to say fucking Denver International Airport 50 times. So it's DIA. It's in Denver, Colorado, in the United States. So we live in Denver, Colorado. We use this airport all the time. And it is the largest airport in the United States by total land area.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what it is. 52.4 square miles. That's huge. That's a lot of land too. And
yeah, that is.
And when you look at pictures, like aerial pictures of it, it's pretty big, but I'm like 52.4 square miles. Like there's a lot of like land they still haven't expanded into yet.
It's huge. And what's crazy is like, it wasn't that long ago, Denver actually had a different airport, the Stapleton airport.
Yeah.
And it was like really small, but it was fine. It was like working as an airport, but they just were like, nope.
Well, the reasons for it is that basically as time has gone on, like airliners have gotten bigger and bigger and they need longer runways.
Yeah.
So the reasons is that the runways weren't long enough for some of the bigger planes.
And I think they wanted to be a major international noise airport complaints, too, because we're like right smack dab in the middle of the country. It's a great place for connecting flights.
Right. To South America, to Canada, to...
Because I remember that was part of the conspiracy was how weird it is that they built another one.
Some
but
people
now,
have speculated, but I'm like,
the Stapleton one was pretty dinky.
Yeah.
Like, their tower right now has been turned into a restaurant.
It is.
What restaurant is that?
It's...
It's Punch Bowl Social. Punch Bowl Social. Punch Bowl,
which is like a restaurant that's got like a fucking bowling alley.
Yeah,
and
games.
Stuff.
It's really fun.
Yeah,
but they turned the airport watchtower.
Yeah, the tower is really small. Like it's not tall at all.
No,
compared to the DIA one, the DIA one's like a fucking like way higher.
Oh yeah, well yeah, it's such a huge airport, and not to I'd also like to point out just how much space we have underground. Like that should contribute. That should be part of our factor of how big the airport is. Is how much underground space, because Denver Airport is supposed to be like fucking tunneled through.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely is. In fact, DIA is the 20th busiest airport in the world and the 5th busiest in the United States by passenger traffic, which handles 61.3 million passengers every year. And like we were talking about, it has nonstop service to 205 destinations throughout North America, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. It's basically located like northeast of Denver. If you've never been to Colorado before, it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, out in the plains, out where I used to live. I used to live even farther east of DIA. So it's out there in the boonies. And you know, I think they did that for a purpose, which we'll talk about.
I do too.
But we started talking about that DIA. Before DIA, there was Stapleton, which was the largest airport in Colorado. Originally built in 1929 and then expanded over 65 years. So obviously they ran out of room with this and they decided that it was time to, they were looking at different locations and kind of settled on this location.
So they picked far away. So that's weird to people because they're thinking, why wouldn't you make your airport like in the city?
Closer to the city, yeah.
Like I can think of, for an example, Seattle, the airport's like right in the city. Like you like literally drive out of the airport right into the city. It's really convenient.
It's like a 40-minute drive to downtown. Yeah.
So when you come in, it chances are you have a pretty long drive to wherever you're going in Colorado from DIA.
Right.
I remember it always take me like 45 minutes to an hour to get home. And it's just out in the middle of nowhere. You're just passing like fields
open
of
fields,
nothing
farmland
for a long
and stuff.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. I mean, I get some of it. Like if you're going to be a huge international hub, one of the busiest, like that's going to create a lot of noise. And they also wanted to have different runways, which I'll talk about going different ways so that they could handle that amount of traffic. Like you do need a huge amount of room to have like a bunch of different runways all happening at the same time.
But why not make it a huge amount of, like, I understand doing it kind of,
but where would they
fields.
Put it like logistically in Color in Denver,
like right outside of like Commerce City area, or you know, kind of near Green Valley Ranch. Sorry for people that don't live in Colorado, but I think there's plenty of places that there's an open space where, like, for instance, where they built that huge
miles,
ass
Maybe.
Grand Wolf Lodge thing out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. That is so much closer than the airport is.
It's true. It's true. Like,
I just don't understand why it has to be out there. So far.
Yeah, yeah, I got
you. You don't want to build it right downtown. It's going to add a lot, whatever. But like right outside of it, why not make it like a 10-minute drive or a 15-minute drive? Like every city you and I have ever been to, most cities. Yeah,
most places you land, like, it's like right in the municipal area. So yeah, it's weird that it is out there.
It would drive growth in Denver big time. So I don't see it. Like, I don't really understand the whole like noise thing or whatever. We don't like, because this would bring a lot of growth to Denver as a city.
Mm-hmm.
To have a huge international airport there. That brings in way more restaurants, like, way more tourism.
At least do like, you know, your normal like passenger flights there. And then maybe have like a addition somewhere else where, you know, like UPS and FedEx and all of like the supplier type planes fly into. Because they don't necessarily need to be in downtown. Like the UPS plane doesn't need to be
flying. I'm not even saying downtown though. I'm saying like just closer than
within
it is
the
now.
City limits. Yeah,
because I just don't see why I have to go past these empty acres of land for so long to get to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised nothing's ever built out there either. Like you'd think people'd start building around the airport.
So
I don't know.
There hasn't been a ton of construction around it, that's for sure.
The airport's always just been a weird thing in Colorado. Like everyone, there's always something going on with the airport, I feel like. Most recently, it's been the sign. They paid for this huge sign. I think this was like trying to make their image better because all these theories. They've had this huge sign made. It was like millions of dollars, right? It was like insane amounts of money. Like Denver taxpayers were pissed. But it's this long thing that's just like screens.
It's just a light up like LED screen. Mm-hmm. That like
so when you drive by, it's
for like
welcome.
I don't know, a couple hundred yards maybe.
Yeah, or they can put ads on it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. Seems like a big waste for sure.
And it's like so much further from the airport
too. And like,
it's
like why too? They're going to like bring, like Denver just got like a mass transit like system. We call it the light rail. It's basically like an above ground subway type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started happening in the last like, I don't know, 5-10 years or so. And they're going to like take the train all the way out to DIA, which is so far.
That's insane.
It's like, what? Like, that's a, even on a train ride, that's going to be 40 minutes.
There's another reason why you shouldn't make it so far. When you
have
public
transit,
you're not going to be, you're going to have to do it for miles.
Yeah,
it's
and it's
expensive
to like take an Uber to the airport because it's so fucking far. It's like, it's not cheap.
You got to expect to pay like 40 to, you know.
And I always think about
bucks.
People that live like, you know, out of town and still in Colorado that have to use that airport. Like, what do you do? Like,
yeah.
You have to like take, you have to like leave your car at the airport.
Yeah.
100%.
And it's so expensive.
And that's
that.
So expensive. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is pretty bizarre. It is pretty bizarre that
the
it's
airport in general
there.
is a little weird. Yeah.
So let's talk about some oddities with it. So they started working on DIA in 1989 and it took a very long time to open. It didn't open until October 29, 1993. And it was supposed to be $60 million for the construction, but it ended up being at a cost of $4.8 billion. So, it was supposed to cost around $2 billion, but it actually ended up costing $4.8
billion. More than double the budget. Well, because they, I'm sure you're going to talk about this, but I'll just start talking about it for now. But when they first started building the airport, they built like these huge buildings, like really, they built quite a bit.
Not officially though. This has not been officially. So I know you're going to start talking about the underground thing.
Yeah.
Buildings. That's not official.
That's not official.
It's somebody that worked on the construction project
said it.
Yeah. It could be multiple people even. But it's never been officially recorded that they did that.
Hmm.
As far as what I was seeing, there's not any official word.
Hmm.
So no, go on. Explain. Now you have to explain what you're.
Well, I was referring to the fact that people that worked there, construction workers, said that they had built buildings, a couple buildings. They like had started the construction and then they were told that the buildings were wrong or not tall enough or something was wrong with them. And they buried them.
Right. Instead of like demolishing them or like.
Yeah.
You know, doing what normal practices would be.
Yeah,
I think.
Said we ended up burying them and creating an underground space.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't be shocked because the airport is extremely, like, the underground of DIA is crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, people that work there are like, that's just so we can bring like bags across and like obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell if there's like anything actually going on or if it's just like, you know, internet rumors. But there is some weird things that cannot be explained about the airport. I'm sure we'll get into.
Yes. So the main theory among conspiracy theorists is that many people believe that the Denver International Airport has some type of secret underground headquarters for the New World Order, or some type of bunker even for the elites of the world to come to when basically shit hits the fan and, you know, there's, you know, maybe a mass extinction of human life on the planet due to this New World Order. Because if you don't know this conspiracy, basically they want to reduce the population to 2 billion people so that they can continue to control us the way that they have for, you know,
see, and that theory, years. Like that, there's not a lot of evidence for that. That's just, it seems like that just, like, that's why I said nowhere.
Theory, guys, yeah. Not, this is not fact. This is,
I know,
a theory.
I'm just questioning whether or not it's true.
Yeah. 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 It's pretty, it's a bold claim for sure. But, you know, as Kendall was alluding to, the airport is home to a number of tunnels, including a tram that goes between concourses, which a lot of places that we've been to, the tram is always above ground. So it's interesting that the DIA tram is underground. I don't know if there's any other airports out there you guys have been to that have an underground tram system.
Yeah.
That goes between the concourses.
I didn't even think about them. Most of them are.
Most of them
above
like
ground.
Take you outside and like go to the terminal above ground.
Yeah.
I can't think of one that was underground.
I can't either. Not that I can think of.
So that's interesting. But what a lot of people don't know is that there's literally a failed automated baggage system underground.
Yeah, there is.
That is.
They've never
they
used
don't
it.
Use it. It's crazy.
It is weird. It was like super expensive.
And they spent so much money
they
on
wasted
this thing.
So much money on this airport. It's crazy.
And it failed so bad that when it was first tested, it never got any better and they never went back and fixed it. And this was the primary reason for the delayed opening of the airport. By 2005, most of the airport's concourses had abandoned it totally, making both its expensive price and long delays feel like even more of a failure, at least a really weird way to cover up the building of tunnels. But where do the tunnels go? And that's where people speculate that they might go to some type of underground bunker that may exist in another, which honestly doesn't sound too ridiculous. Because if you think about it, from a more logical perspective, right? Like Denver is in a pretty good place as far as not having a ton of risk of natural disasters,
yeah,
things like that. Like we really don't have any natural disasters happen here, really.
Especially in like the Denver
right,
metro
the immediate
area.
Denver metro area. Like we still have tornadoes in Colorado.
I've never
stuff,
experienced a natural disaster.
But yeah, you haven't, yeah.
Because Josh grew up like in parts of Oklahoma and stuff, and he
yeah, I grew up in Tornado Alley, and like I know what that's like. Yeah. That we know live by the coast, and you know their experiences and stuff. But like Colorado is a pretty safe place. Like
we don't have
natural disaster.
We don't have earthquakes. There's sometimes really tiny earthquakes that you don't even feel like in northern Colorado. But yeah,
but that's from fracking.
That's from fracking. Yeah. So,
but there's, yeah, I mean, we don't even get that much snow. Like a lot of people think, oh, Colorado's just dumping with snow.
No,
it's like,
actually,
no.
Did you know we have, I think the most sunny days, at least that's what my mom would always tell me when I was a kid, is that Colorado's the most sunny days.
I think it's even
state.
More than California even. It's one of the most for sure. So anyways, I think, you know, it's not totally unreasonable to think that even like a government bunker could be underground. Like, what if shit hits the fan in Washington, D.C., you know, some type of natural disaster occurs or, you know, hopefully this never happens, but we get attacked by another country or aliens invade or something and they need to get the president somewhere out of the city and stuff. Where would they take them? Like, where would be a good place to take them? Well, maybe DIA because, you know, we're smack dab in the middle of the U.S. and there could be this huge underground tunnel bunker system.
So interesting.
What'd you find?
I was just going to say 300 days of sun each year in Colorado. So we have like the most sunny days of, it says more than either San Diego or Miami, most annual days of sun. So
We do have the most days of sunshine.
Yeah, it's great weather here.
It
for is. Sure.
So we definitely, it makes sense of why you'd build something like this here. Because right. It's probably a safe place.
No, it absolutely is a safe place. Other people have speculated that, you know, when we talk about bunkers, maybe they're, you know, like fallout shelters in the event of a nuclear explosion or attack. You know, maybe if there are these like buried buildings under there or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe they converted these to like fallout shelters in the event that, you know, they need to get the global's elite into a safe spot. Maybe there's these bunkers they can stay in.
I think there's something to the airport in the sense that there could be something like that, that there's bunkers or like it's some type of end of the world or like a apocalypse emergency center or like disaster emergency mm-hmm. center that they don't want to tell people about, because if there was a disaster, like people would mob it, you know,
or, right. Everybody would come flocking to yeah. DIA. Yeah.
So maybe that's the secret. That's the what the weirdness is about, because I personally don't believe the government's planning on like killing billions.
Well, some people said like it's a FEMA, it could be like a FEMA camp, like that they're going to take people there. To...
There's never enough evidence for those things for me to believe them. Right. But I am more likely to believe that it's just some type of shelter or like something like that for elite, because you can get to it from anywhere in the country. The middle ground.
It would make sense. Like, I mean, in the event of a nuclear attack, you want to be underground. You want to be in a secure concrete structure
away from people. And there's goes not down. People around DIA.
Right. And it's out there in the middle of nowhere. It'd be, you know, if it became like a apocalyptic situation, like chances are not a lot of people are going to try to make the trek out to DIA, you know, like,
yeah, we would though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we'd be like, all right.
Actually, we got our own bunker, so we're good. So.
I wish. That'd be cool.
I know. Seriously. Our own doomsday bunker.
I don't think we're going to need that.
But another theory that people have is that the United States government or military is performing electromagnetic experiments underground DIA, which sounds a little crazy to me, but they're saying that one such experiment may have caused 14 aircraft cracked windshields in one day.
Oh.
And this claim has been investigated, and they can't find any basis for these claims that it is electromagnetic, basically experiments that are, you know, causing these windshields to be cracked or all at that same time.
What?
But the NTSB determined that high wind and cold temperatures were the deciding factor for the strange but not uncommon incident. So... basically, the official word is that's, you know, totally ridiculous. And this is just a natural thing that happens, which I think is probably the truth, to be honest.
Yeah, probably.
But some theorists out there go even a step further and argue that the underground bunkers could be hiding the evidence of the existence of aliens or lizard people, reptilians.
Oh, that's a good one.
And these claims stem from original contractors who worked on the airport and reported seeing bunker entrances and unexplained tunnels. There's been an alien drawing on the walls and some very blurry footage of lizard people on some conspiracy websites out there that are supposedly from DIA. So, I don't know. I really have a hard time thinking that they would, if there was, you know, reptilians and other alien beings around, why would you put them underneath one of the busiest airports in the world? You know, why would you risk the public being directly above?
Yeah, where, that seems like stupid to me.
You know, it does.
Like, no. You would, if they like were hiding aliens anywhere, which I honestly don't, like doubt that they are. They could be for sure, but I think they would do it somewhere like literally in the middle of nowhere where no one knows it even exists. Like, it seems a little risky to do it near somewhere like that.
Yeah, I mean, if there really is like some type of, you know, New World Order or top secret organization that is organizing their headquarters underneath, you know, a place where 40 million people a year go through, you know, or why would the United States government or military do top secret experiments at that location when they have NORAD, which is 75 miles away in Colorado Springs inside of a mountain where the Air Force and stuff conducts, you know, top secret experiments and stuff like that there. So why would they, you know, why would they risk, why would any of these agencies risk somebody hearing something, somebody seeing something, somebody want, you know, somehow wandering down underneath, you know, DIA and looking around and finding something they shouldn't. So I don't know. A lot of these are pretty out there. But like Kendall was saying, as the story goes, when DIA was first being built, five massive buildings were built somehow incorrectly. And instead of being blown up or otherwise dismantled, yeah, they were buried.
Okay, so that is true?
So, or still no, just theorists like... say that a construction worker ultimately blew the whistle on this very weird practice. But finding the original testimony on this subject is almost impossible.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no proof that this was ever even said. So, like, real proof.
Right. But it could be true.
But it could be true. Could be true. Just got to keep an open mind. Another idea that some conspiracy theories have alleged is that the runways of DIA are laid out in the shape of a Nazi swastika, which when you look at an aerial picture of it, I can see how you might draw some comparisons to the swastika, which is interesting. And, you know, I don't know if that has any sort of connection to the airport whatsoever.
I think it's more just like conveniently set up that way.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is there is like an explanation for it. Plus, you know, it's a bit of a stretch, to be honest, when you're looking at it, because there's actually an extra arm, an extra runway. So it's not like a perfect image of a swastika by any means. But because the airport where it's located, it's prone to winds that are known to change direction and speed rapidly. So one possibility is that the different runways laid out are laid out in that pattern would allow for flight controllers to adjust to the changing winds, so the aircraft that are taking off and landing will not have to deal with the changing wind.
That's actually really smart and makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Because it is windy as fuck out in this area.
Yeah, it really is. There's no trees, no nothing. It's a plane, so it gets very windy.
Super windy.
But there is a possibility that the runways were laid out in that shape on purpose. Mm-hmm. If that is the case, then it could be argued that the symbol that is seen from the overview of the airport is not a Nazi swastika, but a symbol that has been around since 4000 BC, which a lot of people don't know. There's the swastika is, you know, not only associated with Nazis, like swastika is a thing that's been around way earlier before them. They just adapted it to their.
Yeah. And some people use that as a symbol of like peace. And
yeah,
stuff.
It is. It's a symbol used in Buddhism and Hinduism. And it's been found on mosaics dating back to ancient Romans and Mesopotamians. It's literally been found on like ancient artifacts in different forms with, you know, sometimes with dots, sometimes in different forms. There's a lot of different swastikas out there. But more interestingly is that many conspiracy theorists have failed to recognize that the symbol could be a Navajo Indian symbol. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name. It's Silnooli. Symbol of a whirling log, which is used in healing rituals by the Navajo Indians. And there's more of their influence with DIA, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But if you look at this Navajo rug, they clearly put the swastika in there.
Yep.
And it's because they used it as a symbol of a whirling log.
Interesting. Wow, it definitely could be, because everyone in Colorado, like a lot of places, are really about honoring the Native Americans.
Well, yeah, I mean, that they were here way before you know, we ever came along. So
like tons of high schools are named after tribes.
Right. And, totally. Yeah.
It's Arapaho, like a really big deal here. Yeah.
There's a ton of different ones. So, but
Cherokee Trail.
Yeah. Cherokee. Yeah. There's a lot. So we'll talk about more of the Indian connection there in a minute. But
that's really interesting. That makes me feel better about that whole thing. Yeah, people told me that the swastika had other meanings when I posted that video. Like, people were like, well, you know, it's not always a bad thing.
Right.
Like, so
it's been perceived as bad because the Nazis used it.
Like, that's why.
But the symbol itself is not bad.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So this is a very interesting thing to me. The airport's dedication stone, which you can see, if you've ever been there, you've probably seen this stone. It's very interesting because it has imagery from a secret society, the Freemasons.
This is super interesting. This is, I think, the most interesting bit of information or evidence for this theory is this fucking plaque.
Maybe, maybe.
Yeah, because it also says the New World Commission.
The New World Airport,
New World Airport Commission. But no one knows who that is.
Well, we do know who it is.
Who is it?
It's basically the people that, here, let me explain it here.
That seems weird.
And you can tell me what you think of the evidence. So the airport was dedicated on March 19, 1994, and this capstone was placed inside the airport to memorialize it. This dedication stone displays the Masonic symbol of a compass with a capital G inside. Underneath the symbol, the New World Airport Commission is credited with helping fund and build the airport. So what is the New World Airport Commission? Airport officials have said that it was a commission for the New World Airport, but the wording calls to mind the New World Order conspiracy we've been talking about. Hmm. So while it's true that the New World Airport Commission doesn't officially exist, it is the name chosen by a group of small businesses that assisted in the promotion of the airport, probably purely to fuck with conspiracy theorists.
I don't believe that.
Because, well, you have to, if you, that's fine. But if you look at everything as a whole and all the other things we're going to talk about, like, you know, it's either the conspiracy is true and this is some type of New World Order thing, or it is a complete setup to fuck with people.
Okay. So tell me why they would fuck up with, or they would fuck with conspiracy theorists with the New World Order thing when at this point in the airport building, there were no conspiracies. There was nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
to
why would you bring that on to yourself? Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So I don't understand. It's true. That sounds like a bullshit excuse for me. And New World Commission and the fact that they don't exist, they funded this huge airport, bunch of small businesses.
Yeah, billions of dollars.
It was $4 billion.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm sure a couple small businesses did. But I want to know who really is funding the New World Airport Commission. That is so weird that we don't know who that is.
Yeah, and I mean, I looked and I couldn't find, yeah. I couldn't tell you what the business's names are. It just looks like that a number of people have investigated this have somehow been able to confirm this, yet it's like, show us the actual proof. Who are the businesses, you know?
Yeah, who are
so
they?
So I can't tell you that. So that's very odd for sure. And the Masonic symbol also ties into this conspiracy, which if you don't know about the Freemasons, which we should do an episode on because they're very interesting, but they're a very secret fraternal society that's allegedly the largest in the world and may have existed as far back as the Middle Ages. And since this secret society has had many powerful members throughout history, people have long been suspicious that the Freemasons were looking to seize power. Perhaps they are involved with maybe the New World Order or the Illuminati. It would seem to me that it's very possible that they are.
I would think so too.
So another thing that conspiracy theorists have pointed out about the dedication stone is that if you add up the numbers in the airport's dedication date, you get 33, which is reportedly the highest level of Freemasonry. But this only works if you leave out March.
See, that's the thing. Is like any that so for me is really weak evidence.
Coincidence.
There's like a lot of great evidence for this, and then there's like some really shitty evidence like that. Anything that's like add up these numbers, then it comes out with this look. It's like, what the hell? Why would you even think to do that if you were?
It's true. So as far as the like Freemasonry thing, like a lot of us would be like, oh, that's weird at first, but it's actually very common to find Masonic symbols of the local Masonic lodges in the cities that they were constructed. That there are other examples of them putting their symbol on, you know, dedication sites, things like that for different types of structures and things like that. So it's not totally crazy, but it is weird. The whole New World Airport Commission, again, like back to Kendall's point of why would you want to bring that onto the airport? Like, you know, people are going to get crazy. You know, people
I don't think they knew people would get crazy because when they built this, it wasn't like anything to do with the airport. Like, I think the fact that there was all these other weird things and then people found that just made it weirder. That almost confirmed people's bizarre theories. Finding something, you know, New World Airport Commission, that's just so odd.
It is. It's like out of everything, why would you name it that?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to just come up with a name for a group of small businesses, why would you be like, oh, let's name ourselves New World Airport Commission?
Yeah, that seems really weird.
But then again, it's like, you know, presidents have said New World Order. Like, New World Order's been used a lot in different contexts, too. And so the meaning yeah. of the words New World Order could mean different things.
Right.
I think that's the logical answer to it. Like, it can mean different things. It doesn't necessarily mean the conspiracy version of the word. It could mean something completely else.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on the context it's used in.
For
but
sure.
from a conspiracy perspective, yeah. I get why you would put two and two together.
Right.
Right. Another thing that you can see there that we've seen is yeah. mysterious words carved on the airport floor. And that's the thing about the airport, especially like a couple of years ago, is like there's just weird, like you look around and it's just really like
weird
odd stuff. It's like, what the hell?
And I've always noticed that ever since I was a kid. Like, I would look at the murals as a kid and be like, why is this at the airport? Like, because there's some really, really graphic and like violent art on the walls.
Right, which we'll get to.
But just the whole airport has weird oddities.
It is weird. So the words that are on the floor make no sense to anybody that would look at them at first glance. Kochitopa, Sisanagini, Zitigali. Like, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. But those are the words that are engraved on the actual floor of the airport weird. That you can see today. And some, you know, conspiracy theorists, of course, are like, maybe this is like New World Order language. Maybe this is Illuminati secret code. Or maybe it's alien language of some sort. But the truth is that these words are actually written in the Navajo language. Kochitopa is the Navajo word for a mountain pass. The Sisanagini is the Navajo word for the Black Mountain. And Dzitgal is the Navajo word for the White Mountain. And all these places are sacred places for the Navajo, which are found within Colorado. Other words on the floors of DIA that have confused many theorists is that for years is the word Broxima and Villarreal. And the meaning of these words are easily explained. Broxima is actually Carolyn Broxima, and Villarreal is Mark Villarreal. Both these individuals are prominent artists who worked on projects within Denver International Airport. So it's these types of things that I'm like, maybe they did like kind of set this up to fuck with people. Like it really seems like
why
they did
do that.
It really
seems
like
a little
they
weird.
Did. Like, why would they? But why would they allow this? Because now we're going to talk about some of the creepy murals that used to be there. They're not even in the airport anymore.
Yeah, they took them.
Because people freaked out about them, which they are extremely bizarre.
Okay, so let me break this art down for you. So there's like a Native American woman in the center bottom. I think she's holding a baby maybe. And then there's two coffins on either side of her with dead children holding flowers. And then there's what looks to be a dead turtle next to it. Then there's a dead, sorry, everything's dead. A dead jaguar or cheetah or something laying down. And then there's all these kids like trying to help it. And they're all looking and they look scared.
The animals are like in glass too.
Yes.
Some of the animals are in glass.
They're like, they look like they're museum animals. But they're like grabbing a bunch of things. And then everything behind them is on fire. Like the world behind them, it looks like something apocalyptic. Like the world's ending, there's smoke, and they're like trying to save what they can.
Which is very inviting when you're at the airport,
right? What a weird thing to have at
it
the
really
airport.
It really is, and it was.
Which I
there
appreciate
for years.
Art. I especially appreciate weird, unique art that's different. And I think this is actually a really interesting, cool piece that's very well done.
It really tells like a story, it looks
but
like.
But should it be at the airport? Probably fucking not.
I haven't seen anything remotely as bizarre as this stuff at any other airport we've been to, for sure.
No, listen to this one. Okay, so there's another one that is like some guy in like a military uniform with a gas mask on and a huge like assault rifle and a huge gun and a huge sword, like machete, stabbing a dove at the bottom of the screen, like stabbing peace. It almost looks like a Holocaust
Yeah, it's soldier. I think it's supposed to represent like a Nazi soldier.
Yeah, and then there's a rainbow behind them, and then a bunch of kids hiding, and then a bunch of people lined up crying in like the same, like
I
in
think
wearing
one of them
rags.
Is dead. It looks dead.
Yeah, one of them looks dead for sure. So weird.
It's
for
very
the airport,
weird, yeah.
Like that one especially. this soldier holding the gas mask, holding a gun. Why would you have that at the airport, dude? That's so offensive with what happens at airports. If I saw that coming into the Denver airport, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think we have walked past it and been like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, man. So they finally took it down because they were getting so much shit about it. Like, people were like, dude, you're definitely not helping the whole conspiracy situation by having this.
Well,
yeah,
because I mean, it plays into this whole idea of like, if this is like a New World Order Illuminati headquarters, yeah, like, of course they would have this type of imagery.
They're like, art shown, around, like, you know, symbolism.
Shit's going to go down. You know, the end of the world is near.
And then there's like what looks like a devil.
It's a gargoyle.
It has, well, it has two horns on it. So it's some, it's like a devil gargoyle.
With wings, too.
With wings. So it kind of looks like a devil to me, like a bad angel.
Which these are still there, too, I believe.
And it's inside of a suitcase.
At the baggage claims, and east and west side baggage claims.
It's like just popping its head out. It's just like, why? Why? How about flowers or like mountain scenes or big portrait of a buffalo? Like,
yeah, I'm surprised it's not more like naturesque. Like, I'm surprised the Denver airport didn't like,
yeah.
Like, we went to Vancouver airport and that airport was so cool.
Oh,
like,
that was beautiful.
It was amazing. Like, it was so like mountainy and had, nature. Like, and
nature infused elements, a big fountain rocks. It was like peaceful. This is like fucking scary.
Welcome to Denver.
Yeah.
Get this ready like for the apocalypse here.
I swear I get a text at, or a tweet at least once a day from someone that's traveling either to Denver or just passing through DIA, and they tweet me and they're like, listening to your video because I'm scared in the airport. And like, people get freaked out to fucking come here. It's so weird.
It is very weird.
It's odd that they had all that. I just think it's the weirdest thing.
And these murals were like not just little pictures. They're huge 28-foot wide murals by done by an artist named Leo Tanguma. And he actually made all these different murals, which show the, you know, fascist imagery as well as possibly supposed Freemason iconography.
And I mean, again, I would be cool with this art in a museum or a gallery or anywhere else, because then I could like look at it as a piece of art and interpret it and stuff. It's just a very odd place for it to be. I'm not saying it's a bad art or anything, though. But yeah.
And actually in front of the murals on the floor, you can find the symbols AU, capital A, lowercase u,
right,
AG, which would mean gold and silver. Until you learn that one of the airport founders discovered a new deadly strain of hepatitis called Australian antigen, also called AUAG.
Yeah.
Many believe AUAG could be used in biological warfare. Yeah. While a symbol sits in front of a mural featuring just that.
I mean, you got to give people at least credit for creativity. That's like pretty interesting. And it could be true. Could be true.
You, I mean, gold and silver seems to make more sense for Colorado, but yeah. I mean, fuck, who
knows?
Well,
isn't it on like a mining cart too?
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe it's on like a little mining cart.
Yeah, so.
The AUAG. So yeah. I'm pretty sure it's silver and gold.
Yeah. But then there's like the random quote from a child who died at Auschwitz. That's out there. Like, that's just weird. I think we've definitely walked up to it and been like, it literally says died December 8th 1949, Auschwitz concentration camp, which I mean is like, you know,
it's kind of
definitely
cool
to, you know, memorialize and remember those that died at Auschwitz.
But wouldn't it be more appropriate to have like that kind of stuff in an airport in Germany, maybe? Like somewhere where that actually makes sense.
Like
randomly, there's no context
DIA
for Denver to have that. And it's not like the airport's themed Holocaust. Well, maybe it is.
Well, that's
know.
The thing.
It
is like that's
like
why
it.
That's why theorists are like, well, there's definitely like the Nazi runways. Like they're putting two and two together, like connecting points. They're connecting points to different things and creating, you know, a story that might make sense.
It's just, I mean, they've definitely brought this upon themselves. This is so odd. Like, I think that is strange to. I mean, beautiful, really cool to memorialize, like you said. All of this is great. I think it just doesn't belong in the airport.
Yeah, yeah. And like we were talking about the murals that were like creepy and showed like scenes of, you know, destruction and death. But there's other scenes of murals called In Peace and Harmony with Nature, which is meant to address the destruction of the environment, which is just like a bunch of people gathering around like. This beautiful plant looks, it's a very beautiful mural, honestly.
I kind of took it as like post-apocalyptic, like after
like
whatever happened, they rebuilt. Because look in the background, that cheetah, that jaguar,
looks
whatever
like
that
a ghost
is.
Or
it came,
something.
It, yeah, it's like a ghost,
came back
but it
as
came
a spirit
back.
Or something. Yeah.
So pretty interesting.
I think that's what he was trying to do. The artist was like trying to show,
and he's
like,
a good artist,
the cycles of life.
This
and,
is a really,
you know,
cool
what
painting.
Could happen if we don't, you know,
yeah,
don't do anything. Because then the other mural is called Children of the World, Dream of Peace.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Which represents, you know, removing violence from society.
And then they have the dove down there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and look, there's they're sitting on top of the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They're sitting on top, but like there's a bunch of kids, and then dead on the ground is the, I don't know what that's supposed to be, but soldier.
It's either a statue or the like Nazi soldier or whatever.
Yeah, it's him dead. And then there's, look, now the, because in the earlier picture he was stabbing the dove. Now the doves are sitting on top of him.
Yeah, they are.
So I think it's more like, you know.
I think he was trying to narrate a story, though. I think he, from the, you know, murals, he's trying to, like, it's clear that there's a, you know, method to all of the scenes. But is it appropriate for, you know, the main terminal of one of the busiest airports in the world? You know, you might get you might get like people that, foreign people especially, that come in and are like, what the fuck is going
on
here?
Offensive.
This is craziness.
It's weird.
So,
okay, so let's talk about
Lucifer.
Lucifer, man.
On your way to the airport or leaving the airport, you will 100% drive past a giant 10 meter tall cast fiberglass sculpture known as the Blue Mustang, but locals refer to it as Lucifer. And there's a lot of controversy with this fucking horse, and people have been trying to get it removed for years.
Yeah, people hate it.
People think
it
looks...
when it went up, it was really weird. So picture this if you've never been to DIA or you haven't seen it in our vlogs. We film it all the time. But it's just like a bunch of land, like bunch of country, and then just out in the middle of it, there's this
giant blue horse.
And it has
on
these
legs with red glowing eyes. They always look like they're glowing. It looks evil as fuck. That's why it's called Lucifer.
Yeah, and the eyes only light up when you drive past it mm-hmm. at a certain angle.
Because it looks like it's kind of like looking at you as you drive past.
Yeah, it's really creepy. But I've always kind of, it kind of has grown on me. Like, I don't want them to take
it
down.
No, I think it's kind of cool, honestly.
Yeah, I do too.
And it kind of got this negative reputation because it actually killed its creator,
Luis
Jimenez, when a section of its head fell and crushed him while painting it.
It crushed his leg, and he like bled
severed
out of
an
his
artery.
Leg.
Yeah, it severed like a major artery, and he like died there. Like,
that's crazy. That seems like a freak accident. How do you even fall off of it?
But the whole idea of the Blue Mustang, like the Denver Broncos, that's the Mustang. Yeah. The horse is a, you know, like Western history is big out here. Like people are really into ranch.
And it's Bronco country.
And it's Bronco country, right.
Yeah, and it's blue because of the Broncos. So it makes sense.
It makes sense.
But having the weird eyes and the fact that it killed its creator is a little crazy. But they have been talking about taking it down. I heard Governor Hickenlooper, or he's a senator now, right? Wait.
No, he's not. No. He's coming out of being the governor.
Okay, yes.
He's about to be replaced by either Jared Polis or
governor,
or somebody else. Who's the other guy?
Something Stapleton. Walker Stapleton.
No, it's not Walker Stapleton.
I don't even know. I don't give a fuck. The commercials are so annoying. Anyway. He wants to get it taken down, Hickenlooper.
Yeah, like there's a lot of people that are like, it's just not what we want people traveling to Denver to see. Because, I mean, your first impressions of Colorado might be negative if you see these horrific murals and gargoyles and, you know, like all these symbols that are, you know, all these esoteric symbols and stuff. You might be like, what the fuck's going on
here?
See,
it's like all these little things, though. It makes it a little bit of a crazy coincidence for it to be the New World Commission that's running this. Like, that to me is just, like, so weird. I cannot get over that part. Because they wrote that shit out themselves and put it in the airport, and that's so weird.
And I mean, here's where it all kind of gets like, you know, maybe this is just all fun and games because the airport's actually using this whole conspiracy angle to their advantage. They're doing a bunch of kind of mysterious construction. We don't really know exactly what they're doing, but they're putting up all of these big old like kind of like murals or posters for ads for them. And they're actually really funny because like one of them says, are we creating the world's greatest airport or preparing for the end of the world? And it's like Lucifer with his eyes, red beams. There's streamlined security or more secrets. And it's like the gargoyle in the fucking metal detector machine. Then there's like a lizard person. And then there's like, yeah, then there's like the Illuminati symbol, UFO, cool new areas to hang out, or Area 52. Cat 52. With a tinfoil hat.
That's great. That's really funny.
Yes, Den's got some secrets. It's an alien. So they're definitely new concessions or new conspiracies. So they're definitely playing this as advantage. So like,
yeah,
the two options are this is all a joke and it's all just sort of to poke fun at conspiracy theorists. And they're like, what? This is the perfect way to do it. Or maybe to just throw us off of the,
yeah,
you know,
be like, oh, if we're laughing about it, then you don't think it's real.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe if we just think it's a big joke, then nobody will take it seriously. Which that's what most people do with conspiracies, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And then they just kind of laugh it off and like move on with life.
Right.
But maybe they are really fucking covering up like a secret organization.
Or headquarters the marketing team isn't clued in on anything.
Or the marketing team is straight up part of the New World Order.
Who knows? It's pretty interesting. They're
like working
though,
the underground thing. Like, I think we're going to fuck with these
guys. Because it's really interesting to think about. Like, whether or not it's true, I don't know.
Well, apparently they give tours of the underground system down there.
They do now?
And apparently there is like a bunch of like office space and like people work under there. Like 1,000 people work under there and stuff. Hmm. But this is a 52 square mile like landmass. So like maybe there's way more underground, like far away from the airport even.
Definitely.
Maybe there is an underground tram that like takes you to like a top secret bunker
or that'd be more,
headquarters
that
versus like
totally
right underneath the airport. Yeah. Like that'd be stupid. But maybe under that land area, they do have, you know, where maybe those five buried buildings are. Maybe they do have some sort of secret headquarters or military base or fallout shelters. Who knows? But
it's crazy.
Super interesting. We thought you guys would find it interesting. And, you know, now you'll think about this anytime you come to visit Denver. You'll never look at it the same.
And we want to know your opinion, of course.
Yeah, what do you
we
want to
know if you think it's true, if it's somewhat true, if it's not true at all. Let us know. We want to hear your opinions.
Yeah, let us know in the comments or tweet at us and let us know your experience at the airport, what you felt while you were there. But that is it for today's episode. Thank you guys for joining us. And be sure to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening, subscribe on iTunes. Leave a rating and review. We really appreciate it. Also, check out Mile High Merch, guys, right now. Go check it out. At least take a look.
Launch.
Launch for 10% off your order. I think there's definitely something on there for everybody. Yeah. And I'm going to be adding new designs and items every month. I've still got a lot of some more smaller products, water bottles, more stickers, things like that coming. So definitely want to stay tuned for that. But yeah, that is it for us.
Yeah.
This has been another episode of the Mile Higher Podcast.
We hope you guys
enjoyed.
Wow. Way to steal my line, Josh. Okay.
Stay safe and
stay woke.
Stay woke, my friends. We'll see you next time.